Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There are many people who are observers of this war for the free world. There are few who I think do it with more effect than our first guest. He is Peter Husey. He is the president of Geostrategic Analysis and a man who I have come to believe is extraordinarily thoughtfully engaged in bringing an awful lot of other people to understand the challenges of our time, notably through a series of remarkable breakfasts and lunches and similar events that he holds in Washington, D.C. to expose policymakers, congressional staff, and others to the serious challenges of our time, and in particular, the importance of nuclear and other forms of deterrence in that regard. Peter Husey, welcome back. It is so good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Frank, very much again for inviting me to come and talk to you.
Always a pleasure. Let me ask you first about this strike in Syria. I know you've been thinking about it, and I gather writing about it as well. President Trump, of course, moved over the weekend with the British and the French to attack three targets in Syria in connection with their chemical weapons program in retaliation for what have been alleged to be regime attacks using these things recently in parts of Syria. Talk to me about that attack, how effective you think it was. Will it deter such chemical weapons use by the Syrian regime in the future?
Well, thanks, Frank. I think we now have we see the consequences of 8 years plus of leading from behind, strategic patience, retreat, you call it what you will. It has a real effect on deterrence. The other guy doesn't take you seriously. And then the question is, how do you build up deterrence? How do you let the bad guys know you're serious? This is an attempt to not only do that, but the treaty itself, the chemical weapons treaty of which we're a party, requires its members to take action, even unilateral action and military action, to put back in the box, so to speak, folks that violate the treaty, which the Syrians have done. They're the only ones that can deliver this stuff, either by fixed-wing aircraft or helicopter. And we are basically, we're drawing a line in the sand, a red line, but we're also enforcing it at the same time. Time will tell whether or not this will keep Assad from using these weapons again. You don't know that one way or the other, as you know, in terms of security policy. But it had to be done because otherwise we're giving him a license to use these things without restraint.
Yeah. Peter, there's a lot to talk about there. We will come back to it, I think, in the future. But let me segue to another topic that I know is on your mind and mine. A country that has apparently been involved in helping the Syrians with their chemical weapons program is North Korea. You've spent a lot of time on the Korean Peninsula and thinking about this regime in Pyongyang. Talk to us a little bit about what it is doing and the prospects for a useful summit between President Trump and the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un.
Well, thanks, Frank. I've been fascinated by a series of, I've collected 19 such editorials, essays, or news articles saying that North Korea, when it says denuclearization, doesn't really mean denuclearization. Now, this is news to President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama, all of whom in one form or another were working to try to, some less successful course than others, to get rid of the nuclear weapons in North Korea. And now we're being told that it doesn't, when Kim says denuclearization doesn't mean that. This is not new. It is this town is a strange way, Frank, of they basically laid out talking points for the North Koreans. Sanctions don't work. China doesn't have enough influence over the North. Military force won't work. Diplomacy is the only answer. And what do they come up with? A nuclear freeze, which is basically cementing North Korea's nuclear program, and basically they would be a new nuclear power. And that's crazy. But as soon as it's apparent that Trump will sit down with this guy and say, okay, are you going to get rid of your nukes or not? And they're terrified that if the North Koreans say, no, we're not going to get rid of our nukes, Trump will say, well, our military is over here, our intelligence folks are over here, see ya, and leave. On the other hand, Kim may be frightened enough to say, oh, yes, we will have a plan to get rid of our nuclear weapons. Now, I think the former will happen rather than the latter. But the fact is that Trump is doing this meeting to get an answer. And that answer is, will you or will you not put on a table the plan, a plan that's real and verifiable and serious to get rid of your nuclear weapons? And I think people miss what Trump has been doing. So I think what he's trying to do is get an answer of, okay, let's find out what the lay of the land is. Are the North Koreans going to be serious about the 21 promises they have made in the past about getting rid of nukes? And if not, that tells us a great deal that negotiations in that case will just lead to what I call nuclear rope-a-dope, which means they'll build missiles and build nukes while we're talking, and the problem will get worse. And that, to me, is why this administration is laying out the policy it is, which is, let's find out the answer to this. I think you know it, and I think I know it, but I think getting it on the table and by Kim himself will finally get rid of this foolishness of pretending that there's a diplomatic deal here somewhere. Then we're going to face some very tough decisions.
Yeah, we're going to face tough decisions, I think, no matter what, Peter, you're right. But let me just ask you, the useful idiots, as you've called them, that harking back to a term that Lenin coined, I believe, are playing a role. And as far as I understand what you're saying, they are effectively undermining President Trump at a moment when he's trying to get this clarity, and he's trying to make sure that the world is on notice that if the North Koreans don't mean the obvious meaning of denuclearization, that they are going to be accountable and responsible for what follows. Is that right?
Well, you're exactly right. I find this fascinating that if you took the American media and essays and news stories and laid out what their themes were, every one of the themes are basically North Korea needs nukes because of the hostile U.S. policy. China can't help us out because they don't have enough juice. Sanctions won't work, and military force won't work. The only thing you can do is negotiate basically on the terms of the North, because if they don't like things and get upset, they'll use thousands of artillery tubes and launch attack on South Korea and Seoul, which, by the way, we're told over and over that will work. So we're told North Korea has military options, but we don't. And so we're basically in a cul-de-sac of the other guys got all the chips. And it's fascinating to me is you have people who, on the one hand, say getting rid of North Korea's nuclear weapons is really, really important. I mean, if you go back the last since the 1994 agreed framework, they said this was a serious threat. And they're always talking about Los Angeles maybe going up in smoke. Well, then we turn around and see, well, wait a minute. You're now telling us there's really no choice but to let North Korea have nuclear weapons.
We have to leave it at that, Peter Husey, for today. This is a subject we will return to, though, as the summit that we are told will happen between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un approaches in May. Thanks for the work you do, my friend. Keep it up. We'll talk with you again very soon. Suzanne Schulte joins us next. We'll do a deeper dive on North Korea right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.